Listen. Do you smell something? Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are breaking with our pattern once again, just like we did not too long ago with the new Big Paw book. That's right. This week, we are going to cover a brand new Berenstain Bears book, one that came out just in time for the holidays. And by just in time, I mean a couple of months ago. But there is still time, I guess, if you want to get this for the holidays and enjoy it. That's like a enjoy it. That's how it works in Spanish, because your enjoyment of this book will depend greatly on its condition when it arrives. That's right. This week, we are covering the 2022 hardback book from HarperCollins Publishers, The Berenstain Bears, The Wonderful Scents of Christmas. That's S-C-E-N-T-S. A Scratch and Sniff Story features 12 holiday scents by Mike Berenstain. That's right. This is the first Berenstain Bears Scratch and Sniff book since Papa's Pizza from way, 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 way back decades ago. The spiral-bound book featuring the scents of Papa's delicious pizza conglomeration. Well, this year we have a Christmas book filled with Christmas scents. It's a beautiful presentation. It looks gorgeous. The illustrations are wonderful. And the Christmas scents are... well, we'll get to that. The Berenstain Bears, The Wonderful Scents of Christmas is not a board book that only has a few words per page and simply serves as a transport for all the delicious scents. And that's good, for reasons we'll get to. There's actually a story here. There is actually text and illustrations. This is an original book that features all of our favorite family characters doing their holiday traditions. The scents are just the cherry on top, and that's good for reasons we'll get to. So what is this book about? What is the presentation here? Well, the cover is gorgeous. It's a half the cover is taken up with the Berenstain Bears Christmas tree. It has holly berries on it. It has oranges with cloves stuck in them hanging from it. It has candy canes hanging from it. It has nuts hanging from it. It has Berenstain Bear gingerbread bears, which you might recognize from the year. Was that just last year or the year before when I made the Berenstain Bears gingerbread bears? It has those bears. And it has Sister Bear hanging a candy cane from the tree. It has Mama with a plate of cookies. It has Papa eating a cookie with a massive overbite that Papa suddenly has. Not just on the cover, but actually within the text of the book itself, you will see this gigantic overbite for Papa. So maybe he should get that checked out. We have Brother Bear holding a very hot pie in his ungloved hands. So the pie is steaming into his face, but he's just holding the pie tin. I guess bears must have like a lot of fur on their palms, so it's not harming our boy. And Honey Bear is sniffing at a cookie because that cookie smells good, because this is a scratch and sniff book, even though, well, we'll get to it. And on the title page, we see a nice illustration of Brother and Honey sniffing at the oranges with the cloves stuck in them, in a bowl of cloved oranges, sitting in a bed of holly and mistletoe, their eyes closed as they take in the wonderful scents of orange and clove. And that's appropriate that the orange and clove smell good for reasons we'll get to. So what is the story of the Berenstain Bears, The Wonderful Scents of Christmas, a Scratch and Sniff story? Well, Brother and Sister and Mama and Papa and Honey are all bundled up and they're out in the snow looking for the perfect Christmas tree. And when they get to the tree, which is perfect, Papa notes that it has a wonderful pine scent smell. And does it? Let's check it out. You know what? It does have a wonderful pine scent. pine scent smell just in time for Christmas. Papa is hacking away with his axe, chopping down the tree. No animals living in this tree this year. They learned their lesson from previous Christmases. This is a smaller tree. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I'm looking at the top. There's a bird that looks very panicked that its tree is being chopped. Sorry, bird. Not a happy Christmas for you. But everyone else seems happy. Papa looks giddy with excitement. He's chopping away with that axe. We know the man loves to chop. They haul it home, and hanging from their front door is a wreath festooned with holly berries. And uh-oh, a bold bird has swept down and stolen some of their holly berries. Merry Christmas, they shout. Merry Christmas, you thief. Merry Christmas to all. Does the wreath smell? Let's find out. It does smell. It smells, I guess, kind of like the tree. It smells like the tree, kind of piney, a little less piney. Maybe it's got some fruit scent in there. It's kind of hard to tell. I will add that each page arrives with a piece of protective paper between it so that the scent sticker does not stick to the other pages. Thank you for thinking of that. I am sure it will pay off well in the end. So the next page is Mama looking over her shoulder at a squirrel that has ridden home in the tree. Again, they keep cutting down the homes of other animals. But what's that smell? What's that smell? Why, it's the smell of Papa's butt catching fire. I'm kidding, but it looks like Papa's butt has caught fire. He's sticking his whole butt into the fireplace, which is gigantic, by the way. It's like one of those Elizabethan era fireplaces that a human can fit inside, like a whole person. It's enormous. I don't know what happened to their home that suddenly they can fit an entire, like, it's more like a Tudor era fireplace, because Papa could stand up and his head would barely bump the top of the hearth. He's sticking his whole rump into the fireplace to warm it up, but what's that smell? What do you smell? Oh, is it the smell of smoke? Do you smell smoke and burning bear hair? Let's find out. Hold on. So here's the first issue with the book. You go to smell some of the smells, and you feel the sticker, and it doesn't feel like the other stickers. Some of the stickers feel just like a piece of plastic. Like, there's no texture on them. And when you scratch them and smell them, it just smells like a piece of paper. Like, in fact, this one actually is folded over onto itself. So much so that I was like, well, maybe I'm supposed to peel off this sticker. But no, it's just a piece of plastic stuck to the page. Like, it wasn't infused with any scent. There's nothing. The other ones, hold on. That's what happens when you smell a book a lot. You get sneezy. So this brings us to the question of what is scratch and sniff? Like, what's going on when you smell a scratch and sniff sticker? Well, back in the 1960s, this guy who worked for 3M, and isn't it always 3M, his name was Gale M. Watson, and he was trying to create carbonless copy paper using microencapsulation. I don't exactly know how this works, but he was trying to create a form of paper that you could write on, and if any paper was underneath it, it would transfer onto that paper. But he didn't want to use carbon, because that, if you've ever used carbon paper, I don't know if any of you have, but I used carbon paper when I was in elementary school. You know, use it for if you were typing up, like if I was typing something and I needed a copy of it, that's how you would do it. You put a piece of carbon paper over it? How did it work? I don't remember. Or you put it between the paper and the carbon paper? I don't remember. And you would type and it would create a copy, but carbon paper is super messy. It's like it's black and it gets all over everything if you don't handle it properly. It makes copies and you can write on it and make a copy, but you're going to deal with some mess. So he was trying to create a less messy version of that by using microencapsulation. And microencapsulation, basically, it puts these microscopic droplets onto paper. Like, they're itty bitty bitty, and they're basically capsules. Like, they're hard, and when they come in contact with any kind of friction, or like, you know, like a pen or anything, they pop or they break. They transfer the liquid onto whatever you've you know, put on top of them. He didn't have any success with this, as far as I know. I don't know if he ever actually created carbon paper, but what he discovered was that this technology could be used to transfer scent onto paper. And by transfer scent, I really mean transfer scent that was protected, because it wouldn't smell like anything until you disturbed the capsules. So this was quickly seized on. In 1971, the first children's book to use scratch and sniff tech, Little Bunny Follows His Nose, was published. And they used different scents that a bunny might encounter in nature. Now, in the late 70s, They discovered that this smell could be transferred to stickers, and that these stickers could be sold to schools for teachers to use as awards. And what's funny is it notes that in 1974, even though this flew in the face of research, which found that there was no, I love this, Ohio State University found out there was no substantial link between olfactory stimuli and improved learning. And I love that they were like, wait, will these stickers actually help children learn? I'm like, no, we just liked to collect them. It's fun to get a sticker on your test. It's even more fun if the sticker smells like grapes and has a picture of a grape and it says grape job. It makes you want to go to school. Scratch and sniff stickers were awesome. I had a Garfield scratch and sniff sticker, which was Garfield carrying away a giant chicken, a roast chicken, and it smelled like roast chicken, but not real roast chicken. It smelled like ideal form of roast. Like if you could smell roast chicken, but it was the perfect, it smelled just like that. The platonic ideal of roast chicken. In any case, that's why kids of the late 70s and early 80s have the strongest association with scratch and sniff stickers, because that's when they came out. So, and then there was like some controversies with scratch and sniff stickers because the Baltimore Gas and Electric Company put out cards for their companies that smelled like methane gas, like gas leaks, so they would know what to smell. Like here, you always hear if you smell gas, but what does gas smell like? So they put out these cards, but unfortunately, they would get disturbed in the mail, and then people would just smell gas in their houses. And that was a bad thing. So, but what's really funny is that scratch and sniff stickers weren't patented, or I guess the technology for scratch and sniff smell wasn't patented until 1985 by 3M. Like, they had invented microencapsulation technology, and people created microencapsulated scent and put them on stickers and books. But no one thought to patent the actual scratch and sniff tech until it was like way popular. I don't know how well that patent like would work at that point, because it had just sort of been being used by everyone. I mean, I guess, I don't know, patent technology, patents are so weird and everything, but it's just funny that like if someone was like, you know, this is it's kind of a completely different use than what we intended it for. Maybe we should patent this. So they did. Which leads us to today. I wish I knew what kind of tech they were using for the wonderful scents of Christmas, because whatever they're using it for, there's a flaw somewhere in the system, because some of these scents work and some of these scents don't even seem to be on the page. As I said, some are textured, some just feel like plastic. So moving on from Papa's smoky butt, we get to cocoa, hot chocolate. The bears are now cozy and warm. Papa is well butted up, and they pour some hot chocolate, because what tastes better on a cold winter's day than hot chocolate? Does it smell, though? Does it smell like hot chocolate? Let's find out. Yes. I mean, I can smell something. It's not just paper or the scent of friction on a storybook. It's not the smell of my finger or my fingernail. Okay. Wow. Okay. I just discovered that if you rub it with your finger and not scratch it with your nail, it smells a lot more. Wow. That actually smells a lot more. I'm going to try it on the smoke again. This doesn't feel right though. It doesn't feel right. Maybe if you just rub it. No, I'm not smelling anything. I mean, it could just be that they don't know how to do smoke as a scratch and sniff. I'm not sure. But moving on. The chocolate primo stuff. But what goes well with hot chocolate? How about some cookies? That's right. Mama pulls out a whole tray of cookies. Cookies with hot chocolate. The cubs are like, this is the best day. And Papa's like, yeah. And then Papa Bear does something I've never known Papa Bear to do. A, he takes his massive overbite, which is wild. Again, Papa suddenly has this huge overbite. He takes four cookies and he cookie monsters these things into his mouth. Like he crams them into his face so intently that one actually falls with a bite taken out of it. Like when I say he's cookie monstering them, he can't even get them all into his mouth. He's like, arr, 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 arr. He's like, yum cookies. That's literally his words, yum cookies. That is a cookie monster thing to say. And Mama's like, Papa, don't be greedy. Mama's laughing, but she's still just like, if Alana made cookies, and she does sometimes, and I'm going to go on record as saying they are the best cookies. Like you have not, Alana has these recipes she uses. She pulls them out like once or twice a year, and they are the best cookie recipes you've ever had. They are amazing, and I love them, and I'm not just saying that because she's Alana. I'm saying that because they are the best, and she'll make these cookies. If I took four and just try to cram them into my mouth, she would not laugh and be like, really, Phil? She would be like, what is the matter with you? You have ruined the evening. Like, you have ruined, I don't even want to look at my cookies anymore because I had to look at you doing that with my cookies. You've ruined everything. You ruined everything. That's what I would hear. Mama does not react that way. She's relaxed. She's full of cocoa, probably with a little something in it. Papa's cracking the family up with his mess, and he's stuffing the cookies. But the real question about these cookies is, do they taste good? No, wait. The real question is, do they smell good? Sorry, I was just thinking about eating them now. Do they smell like cookies? Let's, as they say, I had to search for the sticker. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. The stickers aren't obvious, really. They don't just jump out at you. Do the cookie smells like chocolate? Let's find out. Smells shockingly like the smoke did. Hold on one sec. I'm gonna work this cookie a little bit more. I'm not trying to resell these or anything, so if it does, hold on. Nope, I scratched and rubbed. Just smells like the papes. So I guess Alana, please make some cookies so that I can smell them. The next page is the Christmas tree. They're warm, they're well fed. Time to decorate. Mama and Papa pull out the boxes of ornaments, and Papa's like, oh, we call those our bear looms, which is weird. Again, I don't call my heirlooms my man looms. That's what I call my underwear, I guess. I don't know. We call them our bear looms. And hauling out a box full of decorations, we've talked about this. My family used to do this. My mom had boxes of decorations that she'd haul out. I just talked about this with my therapist. It was a good talk. We came to some conclusions. In any case, they have a bunch of candy canes, which I assume weren't in the box of decorations. I assume they bought these new because, oh boy, nothing smells quite like a candy can. Does it? Nothing does. Candy can is an inside joke with myself. If you ever want me to tell you what the joke is, I will be happy to, but not on air. It involves some other stuff that I probably had to talk about with my therapist at some point. Here we go. Does the candy cane smell like candied cane? Hot dog, does it ever? Now my fingers kind of do too. Okay, that's a good one. Smells like peppermint. Smells like the cane. But what's next? It's a weird decoration. So one thing the bears do is they take oranges and they stick cloves into them. Now, I don't know. Do people still do this? This is like one of those old-fashioned decorations. But it's not just an old-fashioned decoration. Oranges with cloves do smell good. I mean, it's cloves, for crying out loud, and oranges. They smell great. Oranges and with cloves, though, are actually, they go back to, I know, at least Elizabethan era, because when you would go see a play at the Globe Theater, one of the things that the vendors would sell is oranges or other things with cloves stuck in them, clove balls. And you would buy these if you were, especially if you were down with the groundlings, down on the standing room. Like there weren't seats at the old theaters. Like during Shakespeare's time, you would stand, unless you were up in the balconies, you would stand on the ground. Those were the cheap seats. You would buy a clove ball, usually like an orange or something with cloves stuck in it, to hold up to your face because it smelled so bad. amongst the unwashed masses. Like, you would just, it would stink to high heaven. So you would hold an orange with cloves in it to your nose just so you could smell something pleasant and not like this guy, a guy who'd like literally been like sleeping in like feces. I don't know what people did back then. I assume they slept in feces, but the bears do not sleep in feces. They just want their house to smell nice. And we have the picture of Brother and Honey smelling the orange with cloves stuck in it. And now I'm going to smell the orange with cloves stuck in it and tell you if it smells like an orange with cloves stuck in it. Well, it definitely smells like something. I don't know if it smells like orange and cloves. It smells more like orange than cloves, but maybe there's a little clove in there. Let me just smell again. Let me just see. It smells like something. I like it. It smells like something. If it was a sticker I'd been given, I'd be a little disappointed. It doesn't smell strong, but it definitely has an odor. So, okay, we'll give you points for that one. But then Papa gets very excited because it's time to roast chestnuts. Now, Papa makes a point of saying you have to cut an X in the shell of the chestnut to let it, because you're going to stick, they're going to steam. Chestnuts are kind of like popcorn. They have like, I think it's like 51% of their weight is water. So if you roast them, they will explode like popcorn. Unlike popcorn, they will explode violently and can actually cause like serious injury if you're not careful, because they will just rocket out of the pan. They'll hit you. I know they can like burn you because if you've got oil in the pan, like it can be a big problem. I think they can cause fires. You have to be careful with chestnuts. Make sure you score them. Have you ever roasted chestnuts? Chestnuts are kind of like Brazil nuts, but they're not, and they're not like horse chestnuts. That's another thing. Chestnuts are a nut from a tree that grows in the northern hemisphere. They used to be super popular to roast around the holidays. I know some people still do. I was always wondering, like, why aren't they a bigger deal? I think it's because, from what I discovered, chestnuts are very susceptible to blights. So there's all kinds of diseases they can get that wipes them out. And I know that looks like in the early 20th century, they were like most chestnuts in America were wiped out by chestnut blight. There's also something called ink disease. There's Phytophthora disease, which can hit them and cinnamon trees. There's Meliconis madonia, which can infect trees if they get injured and introduce, quote, bark death, which is horrifying. There is chestnut mosaic virus, which is transferred by an oak aphid. There is root rot, which is caused by honey fungus. There is leaf spot, which can afflict chestnut trees. There is oak mildew, which can affect all oaks. There is storage rot, which, if you break the tuft, it allows fungal spores to enter during storage, like the Ciboria or the Rhizopus or the Fusarium or the Colectotrichum. And chestnuts can get blossom end rot, which is a browning of the burr. And they can also get chestnut canker, which is caused by fungi of the genus Dendrostoma. So you can see why chestnuts are hard to grow. I've never had roasted chestnuts, but I know that they are not like other nuts. Chestnuts don't actually have very much protein in them. They are mostly starch and sugar. They are very sweet. When they're not super sweet, a lot of people sweeten them. But when you roast them, they're more of a like a potato-y like food. And they're an odd nut, I'll tell you. But the real question is, does they stank? That's what we really want to know. There's nothing so Christmassy as the smell of chestnuts roasting on a fire, and there is nothing so stinky as my thumb as it rubs a child's book with a picture of a nut on it. Let's find out if it does stank. No, it does not stink, even though as I smelled it, I looked up at my screen where my notes are and see the word wet rot. If nothing else, it would smell like wet rot, which is part of ink disease, but it does not smell. That's a pass. Now, in addition to, I was going to say wet rot, in addition to stank nuts, whatever these are called, chestnuts, Mama also likes to make appled pie. The kids have to peel the apples. Mama has to make the pie. If you've ever made a homemade apple pie, you know that it is a pain in the tuchus, but because you got to cut and peel all these apples. especially if you're making one that's not going to be too chunky, one that's going to cook all the way through. You know, the thinner you slice the... Never mind. Alana did it one year. The apple pie was amazing, but it is so much work. But Papa has the tub of the apples. And if you ever made apple pie, you know, you make the apples and then you toss them with like the spices and the cinnamons and the stuff. And then you put them into the pie crust. But before you put them into the pie crust, you've got this bowl of delicious apples covered in delicious. You could just eat that. It's so good. And Papa is holding that in his hot little Papa hands, and there is a sticker on the bowl, and I am going to smell it and let you know if it takes me back to that one year when Alana made that amazing apple pie. Here we go. Yes! Oh, this is a good one. I really like this. It doesn't smell like apples. It smells like cut apples, if you know that smell. Like, just sort of that, the juicy scent that springs off a bowl of cut apples. That's a good one. I like that one a lot. That's the sound of me smelling it. It's good. It's good. I'm not gonna let you know the history of apple pie. That'd be dumb. And I was incorrect because he was not holding a bowl of the seasoned apples. Because right now, Mama is grinding the cinnamon herself. She is grinding the cinnamon, tapping it into the apple pie, and it's a cloud of cinnamon, which makes Honey Bear sneeze. But I also know that, like, cinnamon, if you grind your own cinnamon, you're supposed to, like, wear, like, face mask, because you can get cinnamon in your lungs, and it's not good for you. I know that there's, like, people who try to, like, snort cinnamon. I know that there's, like, all kinds of weird things people do with ground cinnamon. It's not good to get in your lungs. Be careful with cinnamon, my dudes. Where is the sticker, though? I need to know if it smells like cinnamon, because, man, nothing smells like fresh ground cinnamon. He's just got the sticks in a mortar with a pestle, and he's, like, going to town. Papa is. Mama's shaking the cinnamon. Papa's grinded it. Here we go. Smells like nothing. Smells like my thumb. What a disappointment. So disappointed. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the Bear family loves to drink honey. They just guzzle it down right out of a can. Do you like honey? I do. Some people are allergic. Alana made a pie the other day for Thanksgiving. Some sort of mud pie. I don't remember what it's called. I mean, that's not an actual mud pie. A chocolate pluff mud pie. And it's supposed to look like a kind of mud from a certain place in America. I don't know where. But it's dark, dark brown and just super, kind of like a chess pie is what we discovered. Like that consistency, but with a texture. And we tried it on Thanksgiving and holy goodness, it looks like it's going to taste like chocolate. And you can taste the chocolate, but it really tastes like honey. And unbeknownst to her, she bought honey at the farmer's market. She did not realize she was buying a super strong honey because it just looks like normal honey. So it really tasted like honey. Mitzi didn't care for it. We enjoyed it, but a little went a long way. So we know what the bears are like. We know what it's like to be a bear because we like honey. Old Bear, he likes his honey. But does this honey that Mama is pouring into a bowl, into the mixing bowl from the family honey pot, does it smell like honey? Let's find out. I'm rubbing. I'm doing the rubs. Here we go. Yes. Yeah, I definitely smell honey. Hold on. It definitely smells like honey. I'm going to try it again. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, it's there. That honey smell, that smell is there. I can smell it. But oh boy, is it hard? It might be like sense memory. Like, it could be my brain trying really hard to smell honey. It smells like LaCroix tastes. Like, you know the flavor's there. But the smell of skin and sweat and paper is overpowering it. Like LaCroix, the taste of like carbonation and water overpowers the smell, the taste of whatever berry is supposed to be in them. But Papa likes the smell and it reminds him of the honey tree from the Berenstain Bears honey hunt book. Now, Now we get to the gingerbread bears. These are the bears that I made. They look a nightmarish, but we love it because of that. They're very hard to create. I'm not good in the kitchen. I don't know how to do anything well, particularly make Berenstain bears. Maybe I'll find those pictures and repost them to the Facebook page and to our other social media pages, because it was fun. It was very fun to make all the bears. But they've made themselves as gingerbread bears. And my challenge to you this holiday season, and by holiday season I mean winter, is make gingerbread characters of you and your family. That's my challenge. And if you do, go to Beastain Bearcast on Twitter, or go to the Deep in Bear Country on Facebook, or wherever you find us, and post your pictures. Share your pictures with me. I want to see. Post them on Instagram, hashtag Deep in Bear Country. I want to see the gingerbread families you create. Or if you just make the Berenstain Bears. I don't know. That's my challenge to you. Do it. Do it. If you don't, I'm going to question your love for me. But the bears have made their own thems, and I am going to see if they smell like gingerbread, because if there's one smell I know, man, it's gingerbread. I love gingerbread. I love gingerbread cookies. I love gingerbread bread. I love it all. Here we go. Gingerbread. I mean, come on, man. This has got to work. Come on. I'm really banking on, I think this is the last one. So fingers crossed this one actually smells like gingerbread. Here we go. And absolutely not. This smells like nothing. It smelled like nothing. Have a yummy Christmas full of warm and wonderful scents. So I'm going to go through this now, and I'm going to see which ones actually smelled. Okay, so starting off, we have the tree. That smelled like pine. So that's one. The wreath, that smelled. That's two. The butt did not smell. The hot chocolate did smell. So that's three. Three smells out of four so far. Chocolate chip cookies did not smell. Three smells out of five. Candy canes did smell. Four smells out of six. Four out of six. Pretty good. The cloves did smell. Five out of seven. Chestnuts did not smell. That's five out of eight. The apples did smell. So that's six out of eight. The cinnamon. Did the cinnamon smell? No. So that's six out of nine. The honey sort of smelled. So 6.5 out of 10. The gingerbread did not smell. So 6.5 out of 11. Wait a minute, I missed one. I guess 6.5 out of 12. I guess half of them smelled, kind of, sort of, a little over half. A little over half of them smelled. I'm going to admit, it was a weird disappointment to not have all the smells in your Scratch and Sniff book smell like anything. Honestly, they didn't smell. And I was disappointed in that. Yeah. So that was the Berenstain Bears, the 12 cents of Christmas. And what's funny is, I believe I found the 12 cents of Christmas. I could be wrong. Or the wonderful scents of Christmas. I'm sorry. It's not the 12 cents. There are 12 cents. Okay. I thought I had found an ebook copy, but I did not, which makes sense, because it would not make sense if they had sold it that way, because what would even be the point? I mean, no, I don't know. Here's the deal. Not everything smelled, but it's a good looking book and it's enjoyable, and it's got a bunch of, like, non-religious Christmas traditions in it, which are fun. And I don't know if you want to buy the book and just be like, you know what, all the scents don't smell, but here's 12 fun things we can do at Christmas time with the family. Like, that's valid. So it's a hardback. It's going to cost you a little more than a paperback. I think it's actually worth getting. It's a nice presentation. And it's just, don't go into it saying this is a fun Scratch and Sniff book, because, I mean, I've looked at the reviews on Amazon and most people are like, yeah, most of these smells don't work. And they're very low reviews. I still think it's worth getting. It's like the Big Paw book. It's just a nice presentation. It's a hardback. It's a good thing to have. It's a fun book to read. And we get to see Papa with an overbite and cramming cookies in his mouth. It's just so weird. He's just cramming them in. Greedy boy. Greedy boy. He's a greedy boy. I did the play Little Foxes in high school, and I was the character of Ben Hubbard. And there's also an opera of the Little Foxes by, I don't want to, it's not Mark, is it Mark Blitzstein? I don't remember. There's an English opera of the Little Foxes. The character of Ben has a song in it. It's an opera, so there's not like a lot of songs. It's mostly like kind of weird recitative and like big chorus numbers, but there are a few solos, like just a couple. And Ben, the character I played in high school, has a song called Greedy Girl, which is more of just a song than an aria, but it goes, Greedy Girl, you're a greedy girl. That's all I remember, but he's like a bass, and I always found that amusing because I'm a bass, and if I was ever in the opera of Little Foxes, that's probably the role I would play. So I thought you wanted to know that. But this was my Christmas episode. I don't think there's going to be any more Christmas books this year, but I wanted to cover this one in case you wanted to get it for Christmas. I thought it was good. So in the weeks leading up to Christmas, I won't have anything. I don't think so, unless something surprises me. Am I forgetting something? Let me know. Is there something I haven't done? Let me know. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining me. I have two other podcasts, Pizza Toast and It's Del Toro Time. So check those out if you want to hear me talk about things besides the Berenstain Bears. Like I said before, you can find me on Twitter at BStainBearCast. You can find me on Facebook at Deep in Bear Country. And I post other places too. Just search for me. If you like the show, rate and review it. If you don't like the show, why are you listening now? It's been so long, but thank you for sticking with it, I guess. In case it got better, I don't know. Otherwise, I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.